Good morning and welcome to The Morning Voice. I am Dr. Ed Ackerley, your host for the Friday version with Success and Wonder. Talking about success, Matt Neely, today is the second. Yesterday was the 1st of May, and it was the official start of the 58th year of Ackerley Advertising. So,
well, congratulations.
Yeah, well, Gene and Gloria Ackerley started in 68. My brother Bill is here as my partner. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
So 68 was when we started, and we're beginning our 58th year in business. And we celebrated by bringing my my son into Tucson. We're having a little soiree. So Kevin's here in the studio with us. We're celebrating Julian, my brother Julian's retirement this weekend. He will be retiring after 45 years as the director of the Tucson, Arizona Boys Corps. So we got a nice little event tonight at White Stallion Ranch, a beautiful outdoor banquet with a couple hundred people. And then we got the concert tomorrow and some open house on Sunday. How about we give away some tickets?
You bet. And as a matter of formality, we do have passes. Vouchers good for two complimentary tickets. The concert is tomorrow at 3:00 at Catalina Foothills High School. And if you'd like to go, all you have to do is pick up the phone and call 520-790-2040. That's 790-2040, and you'll be going to see the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus Pops concert. We'll be giving these away all morning.
Great.
So if you're busy right now, just give a call when you can, and as long as we got tickets, you're going.
Great. And today is Dos de Mayo, and on Monday we have Drinko de Mayo. Matt, why are you going to go for Drinko de Mayo?
The water cooler. I don't know. We'll figure something out.
Yeah. Margarita.
Margaritaville. I got a trip to Margaritaville.
Yeah, plans. Senorita, right? Margarita. Si. Yeah, so happy Cinco de Mayo. Lydia Randa will be here on Monday with Rainmakers, and I've got my Cinco de Mayo tie on the Dos de Mayo.
Maybe Casa del Rio. I think how we'll solve
that. That's right. Matter of fact, I talked to Kevin and said, Kevin, come on in and we'll talk. Hey, speaking of Kevin, I saw Ted and Katie Maxwell. I call them Katie Maxwell and Mr. Katie Maxwell. I saw them last night at the Arizona Sands Club.
Of course,
it was great. We had a nice conversation with them. My wife and Kevin and I went down and had dinner at the Sands Club, and Katie and Ted were there. Of course, Ted is our Tuesday host, and he does engagement hour on Tuesdays, and Grant does Wednesdays, and Tom does Thursdays, and I get to do Fridays, so it's kind of neat. So that was kind of cool. So for the last couple of years, Matt, we've been complaining about the Tucson Crime Free Bus, right? Or the Tucson Free Crime Bus is what we call it, I guess.
Ola. That's what the that's how the folks at the Crime Free Coalition dubbed it.
Yeah. So guess what? Sixto Molina, Jesse Lugo, and Ed Ackerley did two nights ago.
You guys did a little shuttle bus action around the city.
We did reconnaissance to see what's going on the bus, and we took off at 3:00 from Ronstadt and took off on Route 19. And, you know, Mr. Eagle Eye, Sixto Molina, he saw two drug exchanges go down. We had a porch.
Slow day.
Yeah, we had a porch pirate. He walked on the bus with two Amazon packages. And then we went and turned around and came back, about a half hour later. And there he is again. And I'm making this assumption, but Sixto kind of said it was true. Porch pirate picking up packages and taking them and going getting more. And then we saw a guy walk on the bus with a couple of big boxes, and Sixto immediately said that was taken from a store. There's no bag, there's no receipt, and they're brand new things. And he just walking onto the bus with brand new things. So we saw four what we would consider to be nefarious activities on the bus, and then, oh my goodness gracious.
Everybody's clothed, though, this time. I mean, I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking about the passengers.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, we talked to we had a break at the end of the line, and the bus driver, very nice guy, he's been there 17 years, and, you know, they're now behind a cage. They've got the plastic up and everything because of their fear for their lives, and he just said, this is a mild day. He says, wait until we go back the other way at 8:00. They start coming out, and it's just, he says, it's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. And he, from when he started as a bus driver to where it is today, he says, it's nuts. And and we've just created a monster, and it's free. Well, at the genie's out of the bottle, how are you ever going to go back to charging $1.75 or $2 or $3. Are these guys now going to have to be the enforcers and people getting on the bus and saying, I'm not going to pay? Well, who's going to make them pay?
Mm-hmm.
And we've created a monster. And the one thing I will say, and Jesse was the one, Jesse's running for city council. That's why we did this.
Yep.
And one thing I will say, we were kind of laughing about it. The air conditioning on the bus was phenomenal.
That's
the bus was rickety and making noise, and you know it was crazy. But the air conditioning, you can see why when it's 90 or 100 degrees outside, why they're getting on the bus. It's the coolest place in Tucson.
Sure.
So they jump on and ride for an hour or two, and then they jump off, and it's so nice. So
anyways, thank you so much for that report, Ed.
Yeah.
No, really, it's thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad that Jesse got a chance to see it and to see for ourselves as we went along the route too. There's a huge unhoused problem in Tucson. It's huge. And when Kevin and I were driving over here, over by the base, that Carlos's, whatever Carlos called that, Green Acres over by Davis Mountain Air Force Base. You know, there's got to be, what, 50?
100 or, Acre Woods is the official name of the park that was ceded by the Air Force to the city of Tucson. They've made a park out of it that nobody can use because people are just living there, and
there's got to be 100. It's 100 tent wood is what it is now.
Yeah,
there's
right.
100 tents over there. So.
And I can't count the number of news stories. I can't count the number of news stories that I've had to process and put out here that they're cleaning it out now and
right.
Then it doesn't get cleaned out, and so
what's interesting is in the one area that they had, you know, 50 tents or whatever, they cleared that all out. Just to the west, about literally one football field away, they're all over there now.
Yep.
So they cleared out the one area, they just moved over about a quarter of a mile, and now it's just full. The other side is full.
Right.
And you know, I'm letting my political viewpoints out here. I guess I can at our 58th anniversary of Ackerley Advertising. I guess I can say this kind of stuff. A couple of things. One is, okay, maybe it's good that they're over there because that means they're not in front of the Quick Trip store accosting my wife if she tries to go get gas.
But so, they are.
But they are.
You get both, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they keep begging for, you know, okay, low entry barrier housing and all that kind of stuff, and we're not doing a very good job. Of course, this happens in San Diego and Minneapolis, and it's happening all over the country. But it doesn't seem like we're doing a very good job of addressing the issue. It just doesn't seem to me like there's a lot of go to Scottsdale. There's no homeless in Scottsdale. What are they doing? How can we not? You know what they do? I'll tell you what they do. I can't tell you what one of the things they did for 20 years because it's probably against civil rights, but one of the things they do now is if you're at an island and there's a guy standing on the island with a sign that says, I will work for food or whatever, you know, give me whatever you want, and he's probably needy and probably needs help, I would give him a card to say, go to Gospel Rescue Mission, go someplace, the Center for Opportunity, for help, you know. And Punch Woods, who started the community food bank, used to say, never give him money. Don't give him money. Give him my card. Have him call me. We'll come get him. We'll get him food. We'll get him a shower. We'll get him some sleep. We'll get him some clothes. We'll get him a training. He says, don't give him money on the medians. It's just exacerbating the problem. So you see people in Tucson roll down their window and give a $20 bill to a guy. Well, that's not helping. It helps you personally as the driver because you think you've done something, but it's not helping the overall situation. So in Scottsdale, if you go to an island and there's a guy on the island where she shouldn't be there, and someone rolls down their window and hands him a $20 bill, the lights go on behind the car, and the police officer gets on his megaphone and says to the guy in the homeless guy in the, get off the median. If I come back again and you're on the median, get off the median. Get out of here. And pulls the car over that just gave him the $20 bill, writes them a ticket for $500. Second offense is $1,000. If you continue to pay, we're going to get you. Don't give the money to the homeless people. Give them a card that says, here's the resources that you can mm-hmm. get. And that's why they don't have any homeless in Scottsdale.
Interesting.
They're getting rid of the incentive to stand on the street. If you don't give them anything on the street corner, they're not going to be there.
The city of Tucson is just now saying, we will now start enforcing our median ordinance.
Yeah.
You know. And it is.
128 years later?
Yeah.
That's pretty, right on
and
time.
It is a safety issue. And they're framing it. The city, of course, has to be very careful because that's what they do. They're like, well, this has nothing to do with panhandling. It has everything to do with safety. Well, whatever badge you want to put it under, Because it, as you say, it's not it, it's not helping the problem. It's right. not really helping the problem.
Right, yeah. right. It's unfortunate. I was behind a motorcycle cop the other day, and there were people on the medians, and he got on his loudspeaker and told them to get off the median, but he kept on going. He didn't do anything about it. He just said, get off the median. And they looked at him, and then he took off, and they stayed. So it's going to be interesting to see how they enforce this. And, you know, at the beginning of our show, it says 7 million visitors a year come to Tucson to experience the culture, the food, the lifestyle, the U of A, all the good things that we have here.
All true.
All true. Yeah. But yet we have this horrible homeless problem. And I think I got to call my friends down at City Hall and say, is there anything we can do to help you get this resolved? Because this is just getting out of hand. So, hey, let's take our first break. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVUA. We'll come back. We'll do a little quick little scenario of what happened at Pat's Chili Dogs the other night. And that'll be a hilarious little story for you. And then we have our good friend Val Romero coming in from Arizona Grill and Hearth. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI, 1030 AM. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I'm Dr. Ed Ackerley. And hot dog, I have to tell you a funny story. So after we get off the crime bus on Wednesday or Thursday, whenever that was, when we went on that, you know, most of my friends, my sons and my brother, and specifically Morgan Murphy, closed down these bars, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning there.
As an employee.
Yeah.
Let's make sure we frame this in the correct context.
So they're shutting down bars all over Tucson. Sixto Molina and I guess what we shut down. We shut down Pat's Chili Dogs. We go to Pat's Chili Dogs after our little bus ride on the Suntan bus ride, and we go down, and Jesse, it was Jesse didn't go with us. He had to take off because he had an event the next day, but Sixto and I went, and Sixto is telling me the story. His very first job as a young man was in high school. He worked at Pat's Chili Dogs, and so we were talking about how wonderful Pat's was, and so we were on the bus, and we said, when we get off of this, let's go down to Pat's Chili Dogs. And the reason I say we closed it is because we were the very last customer. They rolled down the roller shields and everything. We're still sitting out on the patio having a good time.
Pat's.
Yeah, my friends are closing down the bars, and Sixto and I are closing down Pat's Chili Dogs. I mentioned Pat's Chili Dogs because we're going to have them on soon, but the manager of Pat's Chili Dogs was waiting on us. It's a young man by the name of Gabriel Aquino, and the reason I mention him, especially after my rant about the crime-free bus or the free crime bus, he starts telling us this story. He waited on us, and then he came out, and he was cleaning up and getting ready to shut the place down, and he started telling Sixto and I this story. He's a young man. He's probably, I don't know how old he is, maybe 29, 32, something like that, younger guy. And he was homeless. And not only was he homeless, he was, he said he kind of was on the bad side of things and not doing well for the city of Tucson and not doing well for himself and his family and so forth. And by some miracle, he got sent over to the HSL Properties Center for Opportunity and the Gospel Rescue Mission. And he went over and he went through their program and learned how to become a leader. And he, right now, probably, I don't know, Morgan, you think at 8 o'clock, I think he's going to be there. He is the daytime manager of the Whataburger on St. Mary's. And then he takes a quick break and then he goes over and he runs Pat's Chili Dogs until 9 or 10 o'clock at night and does that five, six days a week. He's really turned his life around, and what a nice young man. Gabriel Aquino is his name. A shout out to him. And that's the kind of opportunity that we need to be giving to these people that are homeless, that are looking for another way and maybe addicted to drugs or whatever the reason is. And he is a perfect story of if the community comes together and focuses on the problem and gives the attention where it needs to be, I think we can do some great good in Tucson. So two things I would say. Charlie's down at Pat's Chili Dogs. He's owned it for last couple decades. We met him. Sixto knew him, obviously. Sixto knows everybody. And so we had a nice conversation with him. He stopped by for a little while. But Pat's Chili Dogs, great story. And kudos to Pat's and Whataburger for hiring Gabriel Aquino and giving him a shot at building his life in the positive direction. So our bus ride wasn't in vain because we were with a wonderful young man. So, hey, a shout out. Speaking of a wonderful young man, got to give a shout out to our good friend Tyler Loop, Tyler Stephen Loop. Tyler was, Kevin was just telling me, he was drafted by the Ravens as the kicker. And in the, this is an interesting little tidbit, Matt. Tyler Loop is the first kicker in Ravens history to be drafted. All the rest of their kickers have come, you know, off the market.
That's interesting.
And they actually drafted this guy because he's going to win some ball games for him.
He is.
Yeah. And we were there.
Got a leg, man.
We were there when he hit that 62-yarder.
62, yeah.
It could have gone 72.
It could have easily. That thing cleared, and it was still flying.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kevin was sitting on the couch in our house yesterday, and I went around to the counter and got the football that Tyler gave me, and I walked out and threw it to him. And so when I was teaching last semester, I was up at the dais the very last day of class in December, and Tyler had taken my class because he needed to be in class because he was playing football, and he just took my class because he liked my content and the way I teach. And I'm getting ready with my computer and the screens and everything, and I feel this person behind me, a kind of new sixth sense, there was someone behind me. And this arm reaches around and he sticks a football next to my computer, and it's signed by Tyler Loop. And I tell everybody it was the 62-yard ball. I'm sure it went 62 yards and during practice another time.
So might have gone 72 during practice, as you said.
Yeah, so we're going to have Tyler on in a couple of weeks and have him tell us about his NFL combine and how he got through. You know, he's going to be in the NFL for quite some time. He's a wonderful young man. And speaking of Gospel Rescue Mission, one of his fallback positions, one position is to be a place kicker on the Ravens. His backup plan is he wants to be a preacher in South Texas. And
all right.
He and his girlfriend, wife-to-be, are a wonderful, wonderful couple. And he's turned out to be a good friend. And we all the congratulations of the world to our good friend, Tyler Loop. Once a Wildcat, always a Wildcat.
I worked with a great Wildcat place kicker in a previous life, a guy named Bill Zivick. I worked with him. Yeah.
We knew Bill for years.
Good dude, man. Yeah. Really good dude. Sharp and great part of Wildcat history.
And a good artist at that. He's quite the artist, too. He took after his dad, and Bill Zivick Sr., William Zivick. Yeah, and so they're both great artists, yeah. So, hey, I am. We're coming up on an 8 o'clock hour. We're going to have Wonder, and I just want to thank our good friends at Caruso's Restaurant, Italian restaurant on 4th. Have you been there lately? Have you been to Caruso's? We've got to get you down there.
Been wanting to go for a while.
Okay,
so this is the perfect precipitating event to get me there, because I've really been wanting to go there for a while. So I was very pleased that we've got a meet and greet / eat and greet coming up there.
Yeah. So on May 20th, which is a Tuesday, we're going to do it on a Tuesday, so we don't compete with anybody else. We're going to do it on a Tuesday, 5:30 to 7 at Caruso's down on 4th Avenue.
And it looks like their roof repairs were able to be accomplished quickly.
What they did is they had a wonderful group came in and shored up the roof, and they're going to starting in June. They're going to. This is an interesting. We had this great conversation. Morgan and I had this great conversation with Andy the other day.
Got to meet Andy. She was awesome.
She is awesome, isn't she?
Yes.
Yeah. They're going to rebuild the roof from the inside.
Okay.
They're going to go in and rebuild the trusses on the inside of the roof, and instead of what they were going to do, which was to have to take the roof off and start all over again and rebuild the roof, I know how much they spent on an engineering study, and they were able to get it passed through all the construction stuff. They're going to rebuild the trusses on the inside of that thing, and they do have to take the air conditioners off for 1 week so that they can do this. And so they're going to do it the week of 4th of July when everybody's out of town. They're going to pop those 6 air conditioners off and then finish up the inside, and then they'll put them back on. And so they'll be able to operate during all the construction and so forth. So it should be good. So that's coming up. So that's May 20th. I'm also pleased to just tell you that they've agreed to sponsor Wonder. And if you know anything about the Zagonia family and their relationship with the university. Sal Sagonia Sr., who was the son of the original owner, who ran it for about 50 years, and his son Whitey is now kind of retired, but he's the third generation. Andy is the fourth generation, and so what are they going to be doing here starting today? Actually,
sponsoring.
They're going to be sponsoring, yes. Wonder. So God bless the Carusos organization and their team and Andy Motzkin. They're going to be our new sponsor of one of the sponsors of Wonder, and talking about all the good things going on at the University of Arizona. So welcome aboard, Carusos, and we hope everybody will come out on Tuesday, May 20th to Carusos for our eat and greet. And Grant's going to be out of town. He's going to be in Washington, D.C. for the Restaurant Association meeting, but looks like Lydia, Tom, Ted, and I, and Matt, and the whole crew will be there on the 20th of May to celebrate the fact that the Carusos is still in business after 8 decades. That's kind of fantastic. So thank you, Carusos. Congratulations, Tyler Loop. And hey, call if you want some tickets to the Boys Chorus Concerts. Give us a call, 790-2040, and we'll give you some tickets and celebrate my brother's last major concert before retirement. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI. We'll be back with our good friend Val Romero, who's sitting out there in the green room. We'll have him next on The Morning Voice.
Steve Goodman song covered by Jimmy Buffett.
I love it. Welcome to the studio, Elvis. Elvis is in the building. Good morning, Val Romero. How are you?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. We'll tell the little story of Elvis and why you why Elvis is so important. Before we get started on our second segment with The Morning Voice with success stories, Bunker's on the line. Bunker's got something to tell us about the Empire Ranch. Good morning, Bunker. How are you doing?
Good morning. I can't think of a better way to start the day than listening to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We're heading out tonight. My brother's retiring from the Tucson, Arizona Boys Course, and so we have a big event at your buddy's place at White Stallion Ranch tonight, so we're looking forward to a beautiful...
Oh, Russell's good.
Yeah. So tell us what's going on at Empire Ranch. What's going on?
Well, you know, a couple of times a year, we kind of like to give back to the people that support your ranch. So on Saturday, May 10th at 7:30 p.m., we're having a free movie out there. It'll be The Stars Born, which was shot out there on the ranch. It's a free outdoor screening. It's filmed, as I said, filmed at the ranch. All we ask is that you you bring your own seating and a blanket. Maybe if you feel want to get there early, bring a picnic lunch. You just take 83 down to the Empire Ranch Road. It's 3 miles back in, paved all the way. And just come out and have a good time.
Well, that's great. And you say it's free. What time does it start, Bunker?
The film itself will start at 7:30.
Okay.
But people start showing up an hour early, sometimes even earlier than that. They bring a little picnic down. They tour the ranch house. And, you know, bring your brother down now that he's retired.
Yeah. Now he has nothing else to do, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
I've worked on the film. It's a great movie. It really shows off the Empire really well. It's the last part of the movie, but you know, it's a wonderful movie. I really, if you like musicals, you want to support Southern Arizona, I like to tell people that this is the southeast corner of Pima County, which sometimes gets ignored and forgotten, and so right. It brings a little attention to us.
Well, great, Bunker. Thank you for the heads up, and we'll promote the May 10th at the Empire Ranch, the free screening of The Star is Born, and bring your own seat, bring a blanket, and go down the Highway 83, 3 miles in, and you can be at Empire Ranch and enjoy A Star is Born. So thanks, Bunker. We appreciate it, and we'll try to get some people down there for you.
Okay, and thanks for your support.
Okay, thank you, Bunker. So, Elvis, how are you this morning?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing today?
Tell us the story of how Val Romero is known. I know we go to events together, and Morgan was just saying that we went to the Thanksgiving box distribution.
Yep.
You came along and did that, helped us again this year. And you wear one of your Elvis costumes out, and I'm amazed that, you know, I thought I was spoiled when I would go to events and everybody wanted to come over and be with Sixto Molina. he pales in comparison to you. when you're there and you got your Elvis stuff on, everybody and their sister wants to come over and take a picture of Val Romero in his Elvis costume.
Sorry, Sixto.
Yeah. it's an amazing phenomenon. And, you know, as a marketer, good on you. I mean, that really, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
So how did you get started thinking about, I'm going to have this persona of Elvis and be the king of barbecues?
So the quick story is, at the time, I was, Barbecues Galore had went out of business. So I was the only person that had the most experience in barbecues since they left, closed down. So how do I...
I have to tell you a funny story. You know who the pastor of my church is?
George Holly. The owner.
The guy who owned Barbecues Galore is now, he's really heating it up on the altar.
tell George I said hi. Yeah. Okay, he helped me out quite a bit, actually, in a couple different ways. But so how do I, get people to know that I'm the resident expert about that? And then just happened before a home show, my mom's birthday, it was one of her milestone birthdays. She's a big Elvis fan, so my uncle set up some skits with me, my brother, and him. I had the black Elvis suit. My brother had the red one. He had the white one that we rented from the Gaslight Theater. After that, birthday party, all the skits, the family was saying, "Oh, you did the best Elvis. You did great, da-da-da-da-da." So I was like, well, I can do this at the home show. I'll re-rent this outfit, and I'll just go as the king of barbecues. And I did that suit. Went down there, immediate hit.
Right.
Immediate. And then I said, well, I'm going to find somebody locally that can make a custom suit. Got that made. It just increased even more.
Right.
And then I got someone from British Columbia, Nanaimo, British Columbia, to make me my first custom suit. She makes Elvis impersonator suits for a living.
Mm-hmm.
So these are authentic style types of suits. Mine was similar to his Aloha from Hawaii suit that he wore.
Right.
With my twist, turning it black instead of white, and having a plumeria flower on it versus the starburst.
Right.
And then from there, you have
several of these, and you wear them around, and you even got the glasses, and of course you have the Pompadour hairdo too. You have the hair that makes it look great, and you can talk like him too.
Well, every now and again, I can't sing like him, but I can lip sync and I can dance.
Yeah, you can. Well, you're the king of barbecues because you own a barbecue store, and you it's not a barbecue store as much as it is as a store where you sell barbecues. You're not selling. Barbecue brisket and all that at your store. What you're selling is the devices that cook that stuff. So what kind of product line do you have? You have mostly designed and built-in things, but you have all sorts of things, right?
Yeah, so we do build the outdoor kitchens themselves and then supply the equipment. But we also work with landscapers and builders that need the equipment, and we just supply it, and they do their own builds. But most of the product we have is going to be more mid to high-end type of stuff. We're not going to be competing with Home Depots and Lowe's and Ace Hardwares. We don't have products like that. Ours are going to be a step above as far as that goes, better quality type of product. Also, the majority of the product that we sell is either U.S.-made, or we do have a couple Canadian lines also that we sell both in our barbecues and our fireplaces, but we don't stock any type of showroom, anything from overseas.
You should run for office. You should run for office, and you should be a politician. That would be a good thing for you to be.
Straight off the grill to the to the dais.
we were straight off the grill. I don't know if you were listening on the way in, but Jesse Sixto and I went on the crime free bus, the free crime bus this week, and oh my goodness gracious, Val, we need you in City Hall. We need you in the Board of Supervisors. God bless you for being on the Tucson Unified School District as a governing board member. Let's just take just a second and talk about how that's going as your leadership on the school board. And, you know, our friend Ted Maxwell on Tuesdays, Kevin met him yesterday, he talks about engagement and how get involved in your school board, get involved in your home neighborhood association, get involved in your local church, get involved and be a leader and engage. Here, you take it to the nth degree, you jump on the school board, and that's been an interesting experiment, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a great learning experience for me. Advocating for our schools and the safety of our schools, which was what I campaigned about And we're seeing success in some things like that. We have a new system called Syntegix, which is like an emergency alert system. If there is a issue where, mm-hmm. you know, we need a lockdown, or if there's a medical issue, there's just some safety precautions that are going in for our students and our staff at the sites. Education, as far as proficiency, that's something we still have a lot of work to do on.
Right.
You know, we're going to be coming up with a meeting with a discussion on how do we curve this chronic absenteeism, this chronic tardiness thing. So there's a lot of issues that still, you know, we got to make better in the district. We do have a lot of great programs in TUSD. So mm-hmm. unfortunately, we get scrutinized because, you know, we've had a big black eye for a long time.
Right.
And it's going to take more than, you know, a couple good years of good things happening in our schools to get past that. But just know that there are a lot of great programs if you look for them and oversees a lot of the negative.
I was really impressed with you. You know, I had the honor of installing you. I got to read you the oath of office. That was really powerful when you did that. But I'm just really proud of you. You've been to every single TUSD school. You know every single school. You've met every single principal. And you know what? When someone brings up a name of a school, you've been there.
Yes.
And I can't, honestly, I'm not sure there's a lot of school board members who have been to every single school. So that's pretty amazing.
Yes. All the other board members, none of the other board members have been to every other school. And this is my second year. And I think I have 13 schools to go. And I've got two today to visit.
Right.
One's going to be Borman on the base.
Yeah, so that's a great tribute to you of talking about engagement. And so when someone talks about Borman or Whittier or Fickett or whatever, you've been there and mm-hmm. you've seen it and you've talked to the people that are working there and seen the kids that are being educated there. And that gives you a unique perspective on now, obviously, you're only there for an hour, two or three and you get a tour, but at least you know more about it than the average person does.
Yeah, and I build a rapport with the principals and understand what their struggles are and their needs are and how I could advocate for them. And you know, when I go into some of these classes, especially when I get a chance to read to the littles, the kindergartners, to the, you know, third graders, and just the excitement that they get because I don't just come in my you know, county or TUSD board suit. I'm coming in as the king.
As Elvis. Yeah, you go in your Elvis uniform and everybody and their brother wants to get their picture taken with you.
Yeah, so I had like third graders go, you wrote to me last year in second grade.
I love it. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about an upcoming event you have at Arizona Grill and Hearth and talk a little bit more with our good friend Val Romero, the king of barbecues.
Mercy.
Welcome back to The Morning Voice. We're in studio with the king of barbecues. Val Romero. Good morning, Val.
Good morning. Thank you, Ed, for having me, and thanks for that little dance party we had with the Elvis going in. Thanks, Matt.
I love it. In the studio with me is my partner and brother, Bill Ackerley, my son, Kevin Ackerley, and our CEO, Morgan Murphy. Good morning, Morgan.
Good morning.
We're just about 15 days and counting away from you being all done at the University of Arizona. We're so proud of you.
Thank you.
We're going to throw a big party for you at Caruso's on the 20th of May.
Yes.
Bring a lot of money because you're paying for your own food, and you're, as Val said, you're paying the bar tab too. You've done a great job. We'll have a going away show with you, but thank you for all you've done for the Morning Voice. Well, Val, you are a wonderful man. We had that coffee over on Tankerville one day, and you walked out of there and complimented me and helped support me in my run for mayor a couple of times, and you yourself ran for city council and for the Board of Supervisors. You landed at the TUSD. Tucson's a beautiful place. It's a great place to raise your kids and your grandkids. It's a beautiful town, isn't it? We got to do something to help continue to keep it be a place that 7 million people want to come and visit every year.
Yeah. We've got, you know, and again, we have to, like I said, with the kids, you know, my grandkids can see what we've got going on, as you mentioned earlier in the show.
Yeah.
And yes, we got to turn that around. And like you had mentioned in that, give people the cards to say, this is how you can change or turn your life around.
Right.
Unfortunately, as you know, running for city council or running for mayor, when I was running for city council, a lot of these people don't want to change.
Right.
They're enjoying that lifestyle.
Yeah. And you know, we've got to shock them out of that
mm-hmm.
because, I don't want to rant too much here, Matt, because I don't want you to come in and congratulate me on my morning rant. But you know, the question really has to beg: if you take a $500 shopping cart from the Lowe's or the Home Depot or the Target store and start pushing it around Tucson, who gave you permission to steal a $500 golf shopping cart from a local business. When did that become acceptable? And when did it become acceptable to pee on the bus or to lay around the backside of the Quick Trip store? I know you got problems. We can help you with those problems if you accept the help. It's those that don't want to accept this help that you just got to pray for and hope that something mm-hmm. magical happens in their life, because this is unsustainable. If this continues, this is going to be unsustainable. So that's my rant for
all
the
right.
day.
Well, the biggest problem I have with all this, and I told you a little bit ago,
yeah.
is we all see it with our own two eyes.
Right.
And seven people downtown tell us you're not seeing what you really see.
Right.
And that's the problem.
Yeah. And that we don't have a problem, and there's you know, we don't need to be worrying about things. All you have to do is sit down for 15 minutes with Lisa Chastain at the Gospel Rescue Mission, and she can tell you what needs to happen and the formula that we need to work on. And it's not giving them a free house. It's about giving them a lease on life where they can grab hold of their life and move forward in a positive, and a lot of prayer and a lot of faith and all the things, other things go into that as well. Well, you've got a barbecue school coming up here a week from tomorrow. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so once a month we host a barbecue smoking class, and we just kind of call it Smoking 101. And it's basically a quick introduction on doing a bunch of different foods on the different smokers, whether it's a charcoal smoker, pellet smoker, electric smoker. We kind of help do hands-on training with these types of things. So the class goes on for like 9 to 3. What we do is we do ribs. You're pulling off the membrane. You're seasoning the ribs. We do beer can chicken. We do smoked tri-tip, actually reverse sear tri-tip, lamb chops, pork tenderloin, smoked cheese, smoked peppers, roasted potatoes, and smoked bell peppers.
Yeah, all that stuff is delicious. I just have to tell you, those potatoes that you make are to die for. I go to events at your place, and there's, you know, 8,000 meats out there. Those potatoes, I could take a bath in those potatoes. They are so, I do not know what you do with those potatoes, but they are an amazing. I fill my pockets with them when I'm leaving. I have these big bulges in my pocket, and people are like, what do you got in your pockets? Well, I got some of Val's potatoes. They are, I don't know what you do, the magic elixir you put on those, but those are delicious. So.
Yeah, it's one of my specialties, yeah, is my roasted potatoes.
They are delicious. And so you teach people who have these or who are aspiring to have a nice grill, mm-hmm. but who might have a grill at home, you teach them how to do it so that they actually know what to do and how to do it and what temperatures and all those things, right?
Right, because when you do smoking types of things, it's usually a longer process. And a lot of people are afraid to do an experiment, so we're giving them that opportunity to do those types of things. And then we're tasting everybody. First half of the class, we're prepping all the food. Mm-hmm. Second half of the class, we're eating the food.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So come with an appetite. But yeah, so we give people the opportunity to learn about it. And I've had many people come back to me and send me messages. Oh, I did the perfect pulled pork sandwich, or I did the perfect reverse sear tri-tip. And, you know, it's a sense that they've accomplished something and they learned something more, because you can go to a video on YouTube, but you're not getting your hands dirty. You're not, you know, someone says, cook it this long to this temperature. But we give you that full hands-on training.
And this is at Arizona Grill and Hearth over on Jerry at Speedway in Columbus,
yep,
area. And how do they get a hold of you to get enrolled in the class?
So go to the King of BBQs, BBQS.com, and you can sign up for classes, and you'll see the list of all of the classes for the year.
Thank you, Val Romero, the King of Barbecues. We appreciate you and all you do for the community.
And thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI. Good morning and welcome to The Morning Voice. Along with me in studio is my good University of Arizona friend, Morgan Murphy. Good morning, Morgan.
Good morning.
Thank you for all you do for Ackerley Advertising as you near your finish line for your master's in marketing at the University of Arizona. You've been a great addition to The Morning Voice over these last few months. We really appreciate it. We'll have a going away show for you here coming up, but we bought you donuts this morning to celebrate your...
for me.
Yeah, just for you. In the studio with me is my brother Bill Ackerley and my son Kevin, and welcome to you guys. And I did want to welcome Caruso's Italian Restaurant on 4th Avenue, who officially joins The Morning Voice this morning as one of the presenters of Wonder at the University of Arizona. You know, Caruso's has been, for over 8 decades, been very involved with the University of Arizona. Sal Zagonia Sr. was a professor at the University of Arizona doing double time, owning a restaurant, and also a professor at the U of A. And his son, Whitey, Sal Zagonia Jr., ran the restaurant for the last 50 years. And our good friend, who you got to meet, Morgan,
yes,
at the Cup Cafe the other day, Andy Motzkin, wonderful. She's the grandniece of Sal Sr., and she's in the family, and she is running the restaurant and doing a fantastic job. Welcome to Caruso's. If you haven't been to Caruso's Italian Restaurant on 4th Avenue, we encourage you to go there. The food is delicious. The service is impeccable, and they're just a wonderful group of people. And we are going to have a eat and greet with our four hosts from Plus Me and Matt from the Morning Voice on Tuesday, May 20th from 5:30 to 7. So if you haven't been to Caruso's in a while, yeah, we encourage you to come down and meet with us and buy some delicious food. And Morgan's going to pay the tab. That's at least what somebody said, that you were going to pay the tab, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, on that intern salary. So, hey, with us this morning, we talk, again, shout out to our good friend Steven Tyler Loop, who is just been drafted by the Ravens, a former student of mine in a couple of my marketing classes at the U of A, a 62-yard record holder at the kicking a ball at the University of Arizona, Arizona Stadium. What a fantastic day. Matt and I were there witnessing that. It was fantastic.
You bet.
It was great. One of my other former students, Kayla Carpenter, is with us this morning. Good morning, Kayla.
Well, let me see what I can. I'm not muted. She's not muted.
Let's do this. Let's have her log off and log back on, and that probably will cure it. As they say, you got to unplug for a minute and plug it back in. Kayla, unplug and plug back in. And in the meantime, let me tell you a couple of things that are going on. This is the retirement weekend for my brother, who is also a University of Arizona graduate. He got his undergrad, his master's, and his doctorate at the University of Arizona. He will be leaving the boys' course after 45 years. This is his last major concert, the Tucson Arizona Boys Chorus Pops Concert. It's happening tomorrow at 3 o'clock. If you'd like some tickets, give Matt a call at 790-2040. Then he'll give you a couple of tickets. And if you want to take a friend or your neighborhood association, we got a whole handful of tickets here. The house is going to be full. There are a good almost 100 alumni coming in from over eight and a half decades of the Tucson Arizona Boys Chorus are coming into town. We got a big celebration tonight at the White Stallion Ranch, and then tomorrow is the concert, and then on Sunday there's an open house at the Boys Chorus Hall for the alumni. So a great weekend for Julian, 45 years. We had him on the show just a couple of weeks ago, last week actually, and to celebrate his 45 years as a former University of Arizona teacher, and they've announced a new director, and it's an interesting time in our lives as old guys like me, who have been at the university for a long time and then doing things in the community that impact the world. And of course, Julian has been traveling around the world with the Boys Chorus for 4.5 decades. So it's amazing the reach of Tucson and what graduates of the University of Arizona can do out in the world of wonder, as we talk about. So, well, how are we doing over there, Matt? We got something going on. He's giving me signals.
I know we're going back on, and I know she is. Let's try this one more time, and if not, we'll just have her call in.
Oh, that's a
regular
idea.
Listener line, right?
Right.
So, I'm in, you're in, and I think if she can log in. Meanwhile, while she's logging back in, if you do want some tickets to the Tucson Arizona Boys Chorus, it's the Pops concert. It's Dr. Julian Ackerley's final concert as director. It's tomorrow at Catalina Foothills High School, 3 p.m. And if you call me at 790-2040, 790-2040, I'll make sure you got a pair of tickets with your name on them on a voucher. So please do call if you'd like to go and see this historic concert. He's wrapped up 45 years, I believe, as director of the Boys Chorus. So should be pretty good. Looks like we got Kayla back. Let's give it another try. Kayla, can you hear us?
I can. There we go.
That's what I wanted to hear.
The magic of radio there, Matt. So part of it is you got to. So you're not in Tucson. You're up in Phoenix, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, after graduation last year, I just came back home for a little bit, and now I'm working full-time out here.
That's amazing how that happens. Kevin, my son Kevin, is sitting in the he's home for the week, and maybe we can get him to stay from Minnesota for the next 25 years. So Kayla Carpenter is an alumnus of the marketing department at the Elder College. Actually, a good friend of my good friend, Morgan Murphy. You guys met each other back when you were in school, right?
Yes, we did, in our entrepreneurship class.
Yeah.
We did.
And now, Kayla, you are with Republic National Distributing Company. Tell us a little bit about how you got to the U of A. You could have gone up north to ASU, but you decided to come down to the University of Arizona. And tell us a little bit about, after graduating, how you got up to Republic National Distributing Company.
Yeah, I mean, I chose U of A because I was looking for a good business school, but also just kind of wanted to be still in state, but, you know, far away enough from my home to say, you know, I don't want to come back, or, you know, I'll come up for the weekend and say hello. So I came across U of A. Eller is a very prestigious, you know, business school that I absolutely hold so close to my heart. And I chose the school, ran with it for 4 years, and moved back here, got a job at Republic National, and now I sell wine and spirits to about 375 accounts in Texas. So it's a whole lot of fun.
Matt and I are going to Texas just to make sure that each one of those 375 locations has the proper amount of, and we'll do taste testing along the way, if you will. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. You need to. Yep. Especially for Houston. Make sure they're doing good up there.
I love it.
Special attention to Houston. Got it.
Yep.
I love it. What are some of the brands that you, probably you're multifaceted, but what type of brands are you selling?
We sell a wide portfolio of wines, but our main wines that we sell is Camus. We also sell Silver Oak.
We got a high five in the studio from Matt on that first one, so that's good.
Right on. Yeah, Camus is a great wine for any special occasion. But yeah, then you got your basic wines, you know, like Sutter Home, Barefoot. You know, the gas station wines, I like to call them. So it's a whole lot of fun. You know, I sold liquor for a little bit a while too when I first started the job in Nebraska. So bouncing all over, but having fun.
Anyone that sells liquor is a friend of mine, as they say. And anyone that sells liquor is a friend of Morgan's too. So, Morgan, you and Kayla go way back, and it's been kind of interesting to see her little career take off here, and she's doing pretty well in Texas.
Definitely, she's always had the entrepreneurship. Like spirit, you know, so
no pun intended that she has the entrepreneur spirit, so she's selling spirits, right?
Oh, there you go.
Yep.
there's a dad joke for you. I love that. So so your job then is as you sell to these 375 locations in Texas, your job is to be the account executive and to make sure that each of these locations has what they need. And so you're putting all of your training from the Eller College of Business into play every single day, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, a big thing that I do on a day in and day out here is selling, right? So ensuring that they have, you know, the correct items on their list. You know, I think I have about 315 national accounts, so top brands like, you know, Applebee's, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings, you know, Chili's, those major corporations, they have mandated items that they need to have. So I make sure that that's in charge. But then I'm also upselling. So, you know, hey, like, do you want to try out a new, you know, white Zinfandel of Sutter Home? Like, what can I fit this into your restaurant? How does that fit? You know, and working hand in hand with the customer. There's a lot of information that I took from the U of A and the class and everything that I learned in class. And I applied it to my day-to-day job now. So it's pretty cool to see that.
That's great. And you are basically doing premise sales then. So you're working directly, so you're not necessarily working with the Safeways and the Krogers and so forth, which is store sales per se. You're mostly on-premise restaurants and chains and exactly. so forth. That are
on-premise and off-premise. So, you know, we're the distributor, and, you know, we everything from, you know, small little American Legions to like I said, major corporations and businesses like Applebee's and restaurants like that.
And so we talk about in marketing, as I teach the young folk at the University of Arizona, we talk about for the four P's. We talk about the product. You got to have a great product. You got to have a great price. You got to have a some kind of promotion behind it. That's where my company comes in, Ackerley Advertising. We're all about the promotion. Where you come in is the distribution. And being a distributor, a national distributor like you are, you take a variety of brands, and you're the company that helps get them from a variety of different manufacturers out to the restaurants and to the places that need to sell it. So you're the one of the major P's of the four P's of marketing. You're practicing it every day.
Absolutely. Yeah, we definitely have top brands like, you know, Brown-Forman, you know, and working with those brands, it really is a big eye opener to, you know, the capacity that a distributing company can have across, you know, the entire world. I mean, we're not only just in Texas, we're everywhere across the U.S. So, I mean, carrying major brands like that and helping the suppliers fill their needs and goals, you know, that's our main priority. And it's an honor to be working with some top brands like that.
That's great. We're talking to Kayla Carpenter. She's a good friend of Morgan Murphy, our CEO of Ackerley Advertising. She is a U of A alumnus and working at Republic National Distributing Company. And she is a former University of Arizona entrepreneurship and marketing student at the Eller College. And again, who is your favorite teacher? I forget. I don't know if I asked you that. But who's your favorite teacher at the University of Arizona?
No. Thinking about it, it's obviously it was you. Coming into your class, and then honestly, you know, that is actually the main reason why I went into this industry.
Because I drove you to drink, is what you're telling me?
No. Well, we had Gallo come into your class.
That is right.
That was kind of the start of it. You know, I went out to California to do an interview in the conference there, and, you know, it was all because of your class. So, I mean, a major thanks to you. I mean, I wouldn't have been here with that opportunity in line.
Well, thank you very much. I just had Jamie Dickman from Barrio Brewing come in. She's the COO and head of Barrio here in Tucson, and she came in and spoke to my class, and she was a big hit. I'm not supposed to say this out loud, but she gave everybody a wooden nickel, so they got to go over to do a little sampling at their place. But that's great. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll talk to you a little bit more about what you're doing at Republic National Distributing Company. This is Kayla Carpenter along with Morgan Murphy. This is Wonder, where we talk about the great things going on at the University of Arizona, sponsored by our friends at Caruso's Italian Restaurant on 4th Avenue. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice, speaking about the wino I know. Hello, Morgan Murphy. How you doing?
Wow.
You introduced me like that.
Escalated quickly.
Yeah, what the heck? First, I'm closing down bars.
Yeah, you're closing down bars, and now you're the wino I know. I love it. It's hilarious. So, who are we talking to?
We are talking to Kayla Carpenter.
And how do you know Kayla Carpenter?
We went to school together last year.
At the University of Arizona, right?
She graduated with her degree in marketing and entrepreneurship.
And she's up in Phoenix. Good morning again, Kayla. How are you?
Good morning. Fantastic.
Yeah, you guys are two peas in a pod, two of my favorite students, and we're trying to wrangle Morgan to stay in Tucson, and you took off and went back home to Phoenix. But one of the big challenges we have in Tucson is to try and capture talent and keep them working out of Southern Arizona, but at least you stayed in Arizona, and that's a good thing. So you're with Republic National Distributing Company. You're distributing all over the Texas region at this point, and you're moving up fast in your company, aren't you? I mean, that's a pretty big responsibility to have over 300 positions that you are now tracking. That's a big responsibility. How does that feel?
Yeah, no, I mean, that feels awesome. I mean, you know, I started back in November. So in November, I was actually doing sales for about 250 accounts in Nebraska. But, you know, after some changes, you know, the industry crashed a little bit, and we had to make some adjustments to the company, and we brought on a whole new Texas team, and I had the privilege to be on that new team for Texas. And based off of last year's earnings, you know, Texas was the number one team across our company to hit, you know, number one in sales.
That's great.
So it's definitely an honor to be a part of such an amazing team. And, you know, I can only imagine what's up next. It's definitely a big state, you know, like they say, everything's bigger in Texas. So,
yeah.
But it's been a fun ride so far.
Yeah. So if you could, you know, part of, I'm going to ask this of you, but I'm going to be asking this of Morgan in a couple of shows, you know, how formative was your experience at Eller in terms of just, you know, heading out of high school, coming out and doing a four-year gig at the U of A, and then jumping right into the fire with a career and escalating as fast as you have excelled in your career? What does that formation at the Eller College mean to you in your career and your life?
Gosh, it means everything. You know, I promised myself when I was in high school that I would commit to a four-year university to work hard, be the best that I can, and be involved with as much as I can. And, you know, if you told me that with all the 4 years that I had with being on an e-board with an Eller, I mean, being in the best entrepreneurship program during my senior year there, that I'd be accomplishing all of that, I wouldn't have believed you. But, right. You know, reflecting on those 4 years and just all the experiences and the friends and, you know, the colleagues and the mentors that I was able to have and I still have to today, I hold everything for it. I mean, U of A has a special place in my heart, and I wouldn't have been anywhere without, you know, all that education, you know, all the friends and family that have supported me so far through U of A, for sure.
I know that, Morgan, you're hoping to maybe take your marketing degree, and you've talked about the possibility of becoming a doctor and teaching marketing, or maybe going to work for a company either here or on the East Coast or whatever. And you've blossomed under your 5 years at the U of A as well, right?
Yes, yeah. Eller has taught me most of all like life skills. Meeting people like Kayla, meeting great, you know, connections and making friends with success people that work to be successful.
Yeah, it's so amazing how many people you personally have met just since September with Ackerley Advertising.
Yes,
if you think about the list of people that you've engaged with, and part of both of your education is that I call Eller and undergraduate kindergarten for life. It's a way to kind of learn life skills and learn how to operate in the business world. And so, Kayla, what is your what are you looking ahead? I know you're doing a great job here, but you know, this is a silly interview question. Matt was in HR for years. What, you know, what do you look like? What does it look like for Kayla Carpenter in 5 years? What do you hope to be doing in 5 years from now?
Yeah, great question. So, I mean, obviously, I want to excel in the wine and spirit industry, but you know, my true heart lies in medical sales. So I'm hopeful great. That I can set my foot into medical sales, in specific in cardiology or diabetic device sales. So that's something I've been super passionate about. I mean, Morgan knows all about it. Last year, I started my own biotech company revolving around biosensors and everything like that. So I have a big passion to help people, but then yet again, you know, my love for business and selling, that's where it lies too. So I'm hoping to kind of combine that and step my foot into that world.
That's great. That's great. Well, we wish you all the luck in doing that. And what a great tribute to both of you, that you're both very successful and that you're friends and that you'll be friends for some time. And when Morgan said to me she was going to reach out to you and ask if you wanted to come on the show, I was delighted to hear what you're doing and the success that you're having up in Phoenix with Republic National Distributing Company. So good luck to you, Kayla, and all the best as you pursue your medical sales and your spirit sales and just growing in your career. It's great to witness such a thing. So congratulations to you.
Thank you so much. And thank you guys for having me on today. Really appreciate it. You guys are awesome.
It was fantastic. Thank you. We'd like to thank our good friends at Caruso's Restaurant for sponsoring Wonder, our first day with them. And I've been going to Caruso since I was a little kid. I'm sure you have too. And if you haven't been there in a while, we've got a eat and greet coming up on Tuesday, May 20th. And we'll probably be celebrating a little going away for one of our friends. And so thanks for bringing Kayla on this morning, Morgan.
Of course. Wasn't she awesome?
She is awesome, and so are you. And so we really appreciate all the good things that our graduates at the University of Arizona, especially out of the Eller College, are doing, because we're making an impact not only here in the city of Tucson, which needs some impact, but we also need some, we actually do need some young people to stay in Tucson and do exciting things. So that's a hint, 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 Morgan. Need some young people to stay in Tucson and do some fantastic things here in the city of Tucson. So, again, thanks to Caruso's. And coming up, if you want some tickets to the Boys Chorus concert coming up tomorrow at 3 o'clock, we got a couple of tickets ready for you. So just call Matt at 520-790-2040, and you can get a pair of tickets to go to see my brother in his last concert as director of the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus. So this is The Morning Voice on KVOI. This is the Wonder Series brought to you by Caruso's Fine Italian Restaurant on 4th Avenue. And we'll be back after the break, and we'll talk about astronomy. And we'll talk with Carlos Vargas about the great things going on not only here but out in the universe. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am Dr. Ed Ackley. Your host in studio with me is my good friend Morgan Murphy. Good morning, Morgan.
Good morning.
Morgan is concluding her time at Ackley Advertising and our scheduler for The Morning Voice in a couple of weeks as she graduates from the University of Arizona. So we appreciate all the good work you've done, Morgan.
Of course.
And we're going to go to Caruso's and enjoy some Italian food, right?
Yes, and you are paying for that, right?
Okay, there you go. I kind of got that. I kind of got it. Matt's pointing at you, laughing at me because I'm the one making up all those stories. We have a May 20th. We have Caruso's Eat and Greet. You'll meet the our friends from our other days. We have Lydia Randa will be there. Ted Maxwell and Tom Moulton will be there. Grant's out of town on that day, but we'll have a great showing, and hopefully you'll show up and support Caruso's. Why? Because they're supporting us. And they're supporting Wonder, and they're supporting this half hour as we talk with Carlos Vargas, who is with the University of Arizona, in the professor and in the astronomy department. Good morning, Carlos.
Yeah, good morning, Ed. Good morning, Morgan. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And we were trying to offer you some donuts because I said they're out of this world. And speaking of your, I have a Young Donut Shop, by the way, which we're going to try and get on the show in a couple of weeks. They're delicious donuts. They're unworldly, as they say. So you are a researcher at the University of Arizona. What is ASPERA, Aspera? What is that? And what do you do there? What's going on with that project?
Yeah, so I can introduce myself a little bit, talk about Aspera, as you ask. Yeah. So as you mentioned, I'm an assistant professor in the Department of Astronomy and Seward Observatory at the University of Arizona. Not to toot my own horn a little bit here, but...
That's what this is all about. Yeah. Shameless plugs, as our friend Chris used to say, this is the place for shameless plugs.
So. Oh, there you go, yeah. So I'm actually the youngest leader of a NASA spaceflight mission in history.
Well, congratulations to you.
Thank you very much, yeah. And Aspera
and you're you're 15, right?
Yeah, 15 and a half.
I do have to say, you're saying that is kind of historical because the University of Arizona has had... people connected with every single NASA program since NASA started. And you're heading one of the big ones right now.
So. Oh, yeah. This is the center of the astronomy world. And it's beautiful to be here.
That's great. So tell us what Aspera is and what you're doing there.
Yeah. So Aspera is the very first mission also in NASA history to be completely led and managed by the University of Arizona.
That's
so
awesome.
An entirely U of A mission. Very special. Lots of firsts. So we're doing some really groundbreaking science with Aspera, but believe it or not, I actually want to talk a little bit more about the broader impact of Aspera and what we're what we're doing here. So through Aspera, I'm writing a blueprint for a revolution in how we do space astronomy in general. So what do I mean by that?
What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So up until now.
That was a good question, wasn't it? What do you mean by that?
It sounds loaded, but it's true, right?
Right.
So up until now, the vast majority of space astronomy has been done with these flagship-style missions, these very large, you know, mega projects, the James Webb Space Telescope, think the Hubble Space Telescope, et cetera. And they have been monumental.
The two Voyager missions and their time were huge, but
exactly.
Huge platforms. The machines themselves are small, but the platform is huge. Yeah,
exactly. And I mean, you know, not to knock them in any way, but there are some drawbacks to a model like this. So namely, you know, it takes decades to build them.
Right.
Tens of billions of dollars to build them.
Right.
And also there's an oversubscription issue. There are thousands of brilliant scientists that have great ideas, and there's just not enough hours in the day for these, you know, handful of big observatories to actually accommodate all of their ideas.
You almost have to bid on the time, and someone has to make a decision of who gets the time to look in this particular area or discover this part of space. And there's a finite amount of that, right?
Exactly.
Right.
So Aspera completely throws that on its head. So we're building a mini fridge size spacecraft. We could fit it on the table we're sitting at right now, no problem. For less than 1% of the budget of James Webb, and in 5 years. And it's so much bigger than just the groundbreaking science, right? We're essentially NASA's bet on small spacecraft and small space observatories. We are proving that you don't need tons and tons of resources to make, you know, groundbreaking discoveries and big impact instruments in astronomy.
When you think about it, if you go back 300, 400, 500 years, Galileo looking through a little baby telescope and discovering planets and so forth, and you know the original astronomers all using just a simple little device to kind of figure out what the world is like. It kind of goes to show you that maybe we can do that in 2025 and beyond.
Oh yeah, exactly. And I mean, think of the democratization of science that could be done with this. Mm-hmm. So we could have hundreds of smaller colleges and universities across the country, you know, building their own small space telescopes. And don't get me wrong, I love U of A, and we're pioneering this,
right?
Literally.
But you're sharing it with the world.
But we're sharing it with the world. We're sharing it with other colleges in the nation. And I mean, you know, think of the educational potential of this. Mm-hmm. You know, these universities can have hundreds of students working on these projects, you know, firsthand spaceflight experience, you know, getting the data off of them. I mean, it's a step to becoming a spacefaring nation in that sense.
So like the Hubble or some of the big telescopes and so forth, they're unidimensional in the sense that they, you know, they can do some of them can do a couple things at the same time, but they're collecting data, they're being pointed in one particular area. What makes ASPRO different from that? How can it be accessed all the time, 24/7, by multiple groups of people all at the same time? How does that all work?
Yeah, so I would just push back very slightly in that, you know, James Webb and Hubble,
they do 87 things at the same time.
They do a lot. Yeah.
Right.
And, you know.
But it's just expensive,
It's expensive. And, I'm not trying to knock Hubble and James Webb. I mean, they're incredible.
Look what we've been able to see.
Exactly.
Just because of them, yeah.
And, so. But ASPRO, you know, if they're Swiss Army knives, you know, ASPRO is a lemon zester. You know, we're really good at doing one thing.
Really good analogy, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, but if, you know, if you have hundreds of these ASPRO types of things, suddenly the direct impact of space can happen within, you know, a few years rather than a few decades.
So you're kind of, you use the term democratization of astronomy, meaning that these smaller colleges who maybe don't have the big budgets like U of A has been so grateful to have over the years, and the big NASA programs that are funded by both federal and private money as well now. A smaller organization can get involved and get their people involved and be able to do some research that has maybe been unobtainable for them in the past. So this makes what you're doing groundbreaking, right?
Oh yes, exactly. I mean, we've worked just with ASPRO alone to date with 37 students.
Wow.
So we're a very early career team. You know, we've had these students graduate, get jobs with some of our subcontractors. One of them is a lead software developer at Ascending Node Technologies, a wonderful local company in Tucson, too.
Right.
So the impact is just incredible.
So where are we at in this mission? Where are you right now in terms of deployment and being able to offer this off to other smaller institutions and again, individuals perhaps that are interested in space? Where are you in the process of that?
Yeah, so it just in the last 2 years, this project has gone from just an idea in my head
right,
to an actual tangible instrument mm-hmm. being built in a clean room right now. Mm-hmm. So we have a great collaboration at Stewart Observatory, of course, with the Lunar and Planetary Lab right across the street. Mm-hmm. And we're building ASPRO in a clean room in the Kuiper Space Sciences building, again, right now. So right now we're aligning our optics extremely precisely, mm-hmm. Going to be doing environmental testing. So we call it shake and bake in a couple of weeks, where we shake, you know, the heck out of the instrument to make sure it won't break up when we launch it. Pretty important thing to do.
Right.
And make sure it works in a space-like environment. And all this leading up to a launch, probably around the middle of 2026 or so.
So this is a little different than a large telescope mirror, which is gigantic, that they make under the football stadium, or they used to. I don't think they still do. I don't know where they make them now, but
yeah, they still do.
But the mirror lab and these huge reflectors and so forth, you're not talking about that. This is a digital thing, right?
Oh no, we still do have mirrors.
You have
right?
optical mirrors,
so it's still a telescope in that sense,
right?
But it's a lot smaller. Right. So Our
that's
mirrors
why you
are.
That's why you call it the lemon zester kind of thing.
Exactly.
It's a specific use of it. But
dang, we're good at zesting lemons. So
right.
Believe it or not, this tiny instrument. So our mirrors are only going to be 5 centimeters wide.
Wow.
And we'll be 2,000 times more sensitive to ultraviolet light than the Hubble Space Telescope.
Wow.
So even though it's tiny, it packs a big punch.
You'll be able to see quite a bit of stuff in the ultraviolet and the different wavelengths it'll be. Yeah. And it's amazing when they do that. Well, they just discovered this week a molecular cloud that was right in front of their face, and they couldn't see it until they went into the other ends of the spectrum. Then all of a sudden, this huge thing, it's been there for millions of years probably, and they were never able to see it before. Now they went to the different spectrum. Boy, they can see it. So when we come back, we'll talk with Carlos Vega, a U of A assistant professor and an astronomer at the University of Arizona, about out-of-this-world things that he's doing with the University of Arizona and young people. Teaching young people how to be astronomers. You're listening to The Morning Voice, brought to you by Caruso's Italian Restaurant. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. Kevin's laughing about the bumper music, how funny it is. Hey, you know what, Morgan? One of the reasons we started Jump in Tucson and then went to The Morning Voice was to celebrate the great things going on at the University of Arizona. It's been a great experiment to go through and talk to him now about 100 or so plus researchers and faculty members and people with UVA. It's been amazing.
There's so many things going on that nobody knows about. It's right. Interesting.
Yeah, people are doing great work at the U of A every day. And one of those people doing some great fun work is Carlos Vargas. He is a U of A assistant professor and astronomer at the U of A and doing great work with Aspera. So I have a couple of just some general universe questions, universality questions for you. You said you're not necessarily a teacher, but you're a researcher, but you're involving young people in your research, and you're a relatively young guy. Well, how does that feel to foster this excitement for discovery that we have at the U of A and for the NASA missions and you being part of this worldwide humankind issue? Why are we here? What is this all about? What are the big discoveries we can make? What's that feel like?
Yeah, so that's a really great question, Ed. And, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. There has been, you know, since I am an early career person, mm-hmm. you know, there's been speed bumps along the way, right. Learning as you go, and some anxiety involved with that, you know, especially leading a mission like this. You know, I'm responsible for making sure that, you know, a lot of early career folks have successful, you know, mm-hmm. research projects, successful PhD projects, and, you know, have food on the table, so to speak, and right. the funding continues and such.
And very challenging right now in this environment, extremely challenging. Yeah.
In my perspective, it might be the most challenging time, at least in my life, mm-hmm. to do this sort of a thing. You know, all that said, it's really helped me kind of build my repertoire as a leader, in a sense, mm-hmm. In turning this uncertainty into excitement, you know, for what can be. And what we're all here to do, which is to learn about, you know, space astronomy, you know, galaxy evolution, and also how to build an ultraviolet space telescope.
Right. I'm just fascinated with space. You know, I was hearing that it's about 43 years now or so since Voyager took off, Voyager 1 and 2, and, you know, it'll take 30,000 years for Voyager 1 to reach the nearest star. 30,000 years, and it's been going for 55 or whatever it is now, and it's going to take another 30,000 years before it even gets close to the next star. And when you're talking about the distances and the looking back in time, the farther away you go, the farther back in time you look, it's amazing how this device that you're helping create is going to be able to give us some answers about. I ask every astronomer that sits in that chair that you're in is, you know, back in the day when they thought the world was flat, what's on the other side when you go over the edge? What's there? Is there anything there? So I'm going to ask you the question. We go back 13.6 billion or 14 billion years ago. Is there anything on the other side? Have you thought about that? You know, theoretical physicists can say, well, yeah, it's multiverse and you're into another dimension and so forth. But what if the universe is expanding at this rapid rate and going, is there anything on the other side of that? Is it just a void? Is there nothing there? So an interesting question to ask.
That is, I mean, perhaps the most interesting question to ask, right? Sheesh.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's always fun to speculate about that kind of stuff. And, right. of course, you know, if I know the answer, I'll come back with my Nobel Prize.
You would be the Nobel laureate. You would absolutely be the Nobel laureate.
That's a real tough one, yeah.
But on a broader sense, and even, you know, I told you at break that I'm kind of a fan of Carl Sagan, and people ask me what my favorite books are, and the first is the Bible, the second is John Gordon's The Energy Bus, and the third has to be Cosmos with Carl Sagan's book, just because of the mind-wrenching distances, time, and all this stuff going on. And here we are, we're worried about so many little itty bitty things in our human lives. And it, and when he did the pale blue dot, looking back at the earth from a distance of quite a ways and saying, here we are, this little speck of sand in this huge sea of things. So you're answering some of the big questions and being able to look back through ultraviolet light and other things, you're able to see some things that maybe we haven't seen before.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I mean, that's particularly one of the reasons that drew me to ultraviolet spectroscopy in general.
Mm-hmm.
The ultraviolet is just not completely, but it's very underserved.
Right.
You know, the Hubble Space Telescope is the only ultraviolet instrument we have, full stop, on orbit right now.
Right.
And, you know, so I actually was born after Hubble Space Telescope launched.
Right.
So.
Right.
It's been a long time since we've had a big, you know, UV observatory.
Right, right. And this will give people another shot at looking at some interesting things in the ultraviolet spectrum, and that's going to be gifts. And maybe we have the next Einstein or the next, you know, someone looking at the data from these things and figuring some other things out that we don't even know that we haven't figured out yet. So
exactly.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Oh, it's nothing more exciting.
Your field. You know, one thing I wanted to just mention to you is we're a little disappointed that you don't have any enthusiasm.
Oh, I apologize. Maybe I missed my coffee this morning.
I do. It is refreshing to have you come into the studio. You are extremely enthusiastic about your science that you're doing and the research that you're doing. And I am proud of you that you're as young as you are and you're leading this huge mission from the University of Arizona and NASA. That is a really, really good feather in your cap. And congratulations to you on that. That's great. And that's what wonder is all about making a difference in the world and making a difference in people's lives. And so congratulations to you on that. And you are very enthusiastic, and we think that's wonderful.
Oh, thanks so much. I'm just happy to be able to bring my vision for the future to the world.
So if someone wanted to learn more about your project and so forth, where can they go, to a website or someplace? Or where can they go to learn more about what you're doing? Well, we can look at the article in UA News, but where else can they learn a little bit more about you?
Yep. So I have a university webpage. You can just Google my name, Carlos Vargas, V-A-R-G-A-S. I also have my own website, Carlos J, as in Jason, Vargas.com. And you can just email me, cjvargas@arizona.edu.
And part of that is you like to share the excitement of what you're doing with anybody that's interested. So give you a shout. So thank you for what you're doing. And we look forward to see how this all turns out in the next couple of years. And maybe you're on to something bigger and brighter in 20 years from now. We're going to have you on that Nobel laureate stage, getting that Nobel Prize for science. So thank you for being here this morning, Carlos. Thank you, Morgan, for being here. Thank you, Caruso's, for sponsoring Wonder at the University of Arizona. And we'll be at Caruso's on May 20th. You're listening to The Morning Voice.